fun. Okay, good tovach to everyone. Good mechodesh. We'll see, that'll be the topic for this evening. We'll talk about Kiddush Levana. Tonight is Motzoi Shabbos, Parashas Bo, January the 31st. In this morning's leaning, so we find the famous pasuk in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Aleph and Beis. Vayom Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron b'Eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, ha'chodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodoshim, rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashona. Moshe Rabbeinu is told to instruct Bnei Yisrael in what is the first mitzvah that's presented to Klal Yisrael as a nation. In fact, as people will recall, the very first comment of Rashi in his Perek on the Chumash is that the Torah shouldn't begin with Bereishis, the Torah should begin right over here. In Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shmos here in Parshas Bo, that's where the Torah should begin. If we assume that the Torah is essentially a book of instructions and mitzvahs, so the Torah should begin with the first mitzvahs that are given. It's true that there are a small group of mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis, but okay, those will be worked in elsewhere. So Rashi has his answer, and Ramban has his answer, others all deal with that question. But this is where the mitzvahs begin in terms of the Jewish people as a nation, and the first mitzvah relates to establishing the month of Nisan as the first month on the Jewish calendar. So we know that when we count the months, we begin with Nisan. So whenever throughout the Torah, throughout most of Tanakh, when the Torah mentions the months, it refers to them simply by number. Bachodesh HaRishon, Bachodesh HaSheni, so you can figure out what month it is, starting with Nisan. The later Svarim of Tanakh, let's say Megillas Esther, identifies already the names that we refer to. Megillas Esther will say, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Hu Chodesh Sivan, because by that time they already used those names. And there's an interesting Ramban on this week's Sedra on this Indian about using those names, which is not for tonight's discussion. But the other thing that's learned from this this Pasuk is that we measure, set up our calendar based on the moon. We've discussed in the past, it's not exclusively based on the moon because we take into account the solar cycle as well. But we're going to count the months as each month is a new unit. And that's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that's rooted in this pasuk. So it's interesting that Rashi quotes here in the commentary on this pasuk, HaChodesh Zeh, Rashi says, he's focusing on the word Hazeh. So Rashi says, Her'ohu Levana B'chidusha. Kadosh Baruch Hu actually showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon as it was being renewed. We'll see what that means shortly. V'amalo, Kishahayareach Mischadeh Yelech HaRosh Chodesh. When the moon comes back to this point and renews itself, that's the mark of a month. That's how we measure a month. That's a new chodesh. And then he goes on to say that the simple pshat, as I said before, that it's the months in terms of counting the Nisan as the first month, the second month, etc. Then the next Rashi says, again on the word hazeh, he says niskasha Moshe al molah levana. Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding exactly when is considered the new moon. What exactly, what stage? And we'll see in a second what it means. So, be'ezah shir, tira, re'uya l'kadesh. Exactly at what point do we announce Rosh Chodesh? It's a new month. So therefore, ve'heralo be'etzba salavona barakia, Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated, so to speak, with his finger, as it were, and showed Moshe, see like this. So Amalo, the famous words, Kazeh Re'eh V'Kadesh. When you see it like this, that's how you know it's a new month. Then Rashi goes on, the Keter Harov, Aloha Elo Medabri Mo'el B'Yom, Shneur Ahim B'Yom Diber, Hashem B'Yom Tzavoso, Min Hayom Asher Tzivo Hashem V'Holo. We have a number of psukim which indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was generally communicated with by Kadosh Baruch Hu during the daytime. So how did he show him the moon during the daytime? So Rashi says, "Ela samach shkisa chama nemra lo parsha zu v'haroi mechashecha." It was during the day, but it was already late in the day when the moon was visible. Fine, but be that as it may, Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to this Rashi, showed Moshe Rabbeinu what the moon should look like, and at this point, he would declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. What's the idea? So to make it simple. Really, the sugyas discussed it, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, around Daf Chof, and you have to, basically the moon, as we know, rotates around the earth. And for most of the time, we can obviously, most of the month, we can see the moon. Now, the moon, as we know, doesn't give off any of its own light. The moon simply reflects the light of the sun. And the moon always remains scientifically the same. We refer to it as a full moon, a half moon, a quarter. That's just what we can see. The moon is never any different at any time. The moon simply goes around the earth. So depending upon the position of the moon vis-a-vis the earth and the sun, so that will affect how much of the moon we can see. So when the moon is, in effect, in between the Earth and the Sun, when it's rotated around, it comes in between the Earth and the Sun. So for that amount of time, about 6 hours or so, I know you once said, huh? A little more than that. There's a certain period of time when we can't see the moon at all. Why? Because the moon is positioned, huh? Right, it can be up to 2 days. I don't know. Is it always? It may vary. I'm not sure. But there's a certain period of time where, from nowhere on Earth, and it depends where you are on Earth also, but from nowhere on Earth can you see this, the moon? Because the moon's there, but you can't see it because the sun, the moon, and the Earth are all on the same, some plane.
The same, huh?
Right.
The dark side, and therefore you can't see.
Right. Anything. So the whole thing is the moon, the Earth, and the sun, or more correctly, the sun, the moon, and the Earth are all on the same plane. And for that period of time, you cannot see the moon. Then, as the moon continues to move, so it's a little bit out of the same plane, so we can see the sliver because there's that much reflection. As the moon continues to move, then we can see more of the moon because there's that much reflection. Then, when it comes all the way around to the other side, then the sun shines direct on the moon and bounces back to the Earth. It's exactly opposite. You can figure out. You can spin it. You can do it. Try this at home. You can figure out how you can see it. That's the moon. So Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty perceiving because there is the amount of time when the quote unquote the moon is dark, so to speak, when it has come all the way around. So at what point is exactly considered a molad? So that's not the topic of the Shiur tonight. I once wrote a little bit about it, but it's a difficult subject, and I admit that I don't have a 100% clear angle on the different times. There's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a commentary on the Rambam's Say Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, where he goes through, and the Rambam himself, if you look in the back of any standard Rambam of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, all kinds of diagrams and charts. And I once spent a little time looking into it, and it's understandable. It's a lot of work. But in any event, so the moon goes around, and Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding exactly at what point. I kind of showed him, it looks like this. That's the new month. That's when the new month begins. And it takes approximately 29 and a half days. Not exactly 29 and a half days, but it takes approximately 29 and a half days. And every 29 and a half days, roughly, there's a new moon, and the new Chodesh begins. It can't begin in the middle of the day, so you round it off. That's why every Jewish month has either 29 days or 30 days. There's no such thing as a Jewish month with 28 days, like we have with February, although not this year, but in a non-leap year, February has only 28 days. Well, there's no 31s like January and whatever, how that poem goes. So we don't have that. It's either 29 days or 30 days. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding, but our Kadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him. This is really Rashi in our Parsha is quoting the Mechilta in the beginning, Parsha Aleph, Mechilta, and Bo Parsha Aleph. He says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zeh Echad Migimel Dvarim Sh'Niskasha Moshe. This is one of three things where Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty sort of comprehending what was going on or what it should look like. The Hero Malkom is Kulam Be'etzel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated all three. So the word Zeh, because it says HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Whenever we have the word Zeh, or Zos, so it implies that this was shown, demonstrably. Like we have a tradition, I don't know exactly where it comes from, it's not brought down in that many early sources, but many people, when they do Hagbah, so we say, Vizos HaTorah, they point. We point to the finger, whatever, the talus, tzitzit strings, or whatever. So the Vizos HaTorah, report that. We have the Gemara says, that Losid Lovo, the one in the Tanya says that Losid Lovo, all of the tzaddikim will dance around for Kadosh Baruch and say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, right? Zeh Hashem, they'll be able to point, so to speak, to Kadosh Baruch. So his, that's next week said, you're good. We'll see that in a second. So Rashi said the other thing, Rabbi Mechilta says the other thing is, Keotu Da Tomer, Vizeh Lachem HaTomei, certain animals didn't understand, Vizeh Maisa HaMenorah, Moshe couldn't understand how to make the menorah exactly for the Mishkan, so Vizeh Maisa HaMenorah, Vizeh Maisa HaPishchita Liskash Moshe, because Vizeh Dvar HaShchita, exactly how you shech. Okay, so you have different sources, and all of what Rashi says over there is basically based upon this source in the Mechilta. Netziv, in the Birchas HaNetziv, and this is commentary on the Mechilta, he writes, B'shas mod levona eina niris, ki ma'at b'eina nikaris. When the molad comes, very little of the moon is visible. Kedamina b'Rosh Hashanah, dav chav dalam. Aban Aleph, the first few pages in the chavs of Rosh Hashanah deal with this subject. So he says, he quotes a Rashi, Menachas v'chein das atosus p'sachim, that it's only visible a little bit. And he quotes from another Gemara, that it was the ha'chodesh hazeh nemar b'Rosh Chodesh. That the Gemara assumes that this instruction that's presented in our Seder was actually said on Rosh Chodesh. It wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him a special thing. That's exactly what they were up to. That was the time that it was. Ratzonon, B'yom HaMolad, Nirelo, B'chein Mucham, Mechot, B'sam Mucham, quotes other sources and so on. The understanding of all of these sources that the Netziv quotes is that there was a demonstrative act by Kodesh Baruch Hu to show Moshe Rabbeinu precisely what was going on over here. Gemara in Shabbos, on the Peivav Med Beis, was one of the sources that the Mitzvah refers to. It's because we have a sort of a Gzera Shava. It says, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. When the Jews came to Har Sinai, so it was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Bayom Hazeh. And here it's a Chodesh Hazeh, so the Gemara says, Malahal Rosh Chodesh, Afkan Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so it was on Rosh Chodesh there, this is also on Rosh Chodesh. So clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing this to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it happened on Rosh Chodesh. And then the Haraya, the Gemara, the Mechilta goes on to say, well, was it nighttime? It was almost nighttime, fine. Just point out, however, that the Rambam, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, doesn't learn it that way. The Rambam, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, writes, Chod Shehashana Heim Chod Shehalavana, the months of our year depend upon the moon. Shenemar olas chodesh b'chodesh, shenemar chodesh elochem rosh chodashim. Kach amru chachomim, hera lo hakodesh baruch hu l'moshe b'mare hanevua. D'mus halavona v'omalo kazer ra'e v'kadesh. So the Rambam, according to the Rambam, it doesn't have to have been that it was on Rosh Chodesh, that he actually showed him when it looks like this, but rather the whole thing was a mara nevua, some type of a prophetic trance or a prophetic vision that Moshe had. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him in a vision. Okay, be that as it may, it's clear in any case that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe what the moon was to look like, and Moshe passed this on, and that's our tradition in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Medrash says, and also in our Parsha, in Parsha Tezvav, Simon Chav Dalad, in the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Tezvav, Simon Chav Dalad. The Medrash indicates, let's find it, it says as follows, Haroa es halavana, heich tzorach levarach. When a person sees a levana, you see for the first time that month, you see the levana in its new cycle, so to speak, what bracha do you have to make? Assumption is you have to make a bracha. The Medrash says, what bracha do you make? It says, Bizman shah yusol mikachin as a chodesh yeshvim rabbanon amin baruch mechadesh chodoshim, yeshvim amin baruch mechadesh chodoshim. So the Medrash in our parashim, parashas bo, says that there were two different traditions as to whether, apparently, there was a bracha that is recited by anyone who saw the levana in its new cycle. And either it said baruch mechadesh chodoshim, v'yeshvim om baruch mechadesh chodoshim, v'yeshvim om mechadesh Yisrael, because it's our job. So the Medrash assumes the existence of some sort of a bracha that was to be cited by somebody who sees the levana in its its new position, so to speak. Correct. The Kiddush HaChodesh, right? What we spoke about now, but here we're talking ostensibly. We're not talking about only the members of Beis Din or people, but anybody who sees them. Once it's beyond that point, whatever it doesn't have to be right when you see that first slip. Well, we'll have to see exactly when it is. That's what we'll talk about. But it's a separate chiyuv. Now the Yerushalmi in Brachas, in the Perek Tes of Brachas Halacha Beis. The Yerushalmi in Brachas quotes this requirement as well. Yerushalmi says, write down the source, Perktes Halacha Beis. Yerushalmi also says, Haroa, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi is talking about in general, Brachas that you recite, the Bavli also, the Mishnah, the ninth parak of Brachas is talking about Brachas you recite upon seeing different things. You see lightning, you see different things, there are different Brachas to be recited. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, on Tzav Samech Hayamad Aleph, in the pages of the Yerushalmi, that somebody who sees the Levana, let's find the exact line, that's Haroas Achama, which is a different discussion, will be relevant in a few years, not this year. Haroas Halavana b'chidusha, Omer Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim. So Yerushalmi accepts one version of that bracha. Again, the Medrash Rabbah had several different possible versions of the bracha. Yerushalmi says, Haroas Halavana b'chidusha, Omer Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim. That's the Yerushalmi. A fuller presentation of the bracha is found in Maseches Sofrim, Maseches Sofrim, Perek Chof, where it says as follows. First of all, it begins, we'll come back to this point. We'll see about that later. You're supposed to, it's proper to say Kiddush Levana Motzoi Shabbos when you're dressed in nice clothes and you're wearing good garments. B'tol Ein of Kenegdo, and you look at the moon, you straighten out your feet, and Mavorech. And here, the Masechet Sofrim has the text which we're familiar. I don't know if everyone was able to chop tonight because it was a little cloudy, but those were able to say Kiddush Havara tonight. So here's the bracha: Asher ben Ma'amaro Baruch Shchokim Uruach Piv Kol Tzavam Chokus Man Nosalam Shalishanos Tafkidam Poalei Emes Shepulaso Emes V'Lalavana Amoshit Ischadish Boor Yoker V'Ateres Tiferes Lamusay Vaten Shemasilus Asinum Ischadish Kemosa L'Po Yotam Akvod Machusa Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Roshay Chadashim. So it's very similar, although not exactly the bracha that we recite today. Here they had the text, Mikadesh Rosh Chadashim, we say Mikadesh Chadashim, yeah.
From everything we're talking about, it seems to be a Berkas HaShadach. Why isn't it a Berkas HaMitzvah?
Well, what is exactly the mitzvah?
I mean, in other words, if it's a mitzvah, it's also Mikadesh HaChodesh.
No, so that's just the point. That's what this is not on the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. There is a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. You're asking a general question, why is there no bracha that the Beis Din made with a Mikadesh HaChodesh? That's a good question, but that's not what we're doing. That this is a separate thing. This is nothing to do. Right.
But okay, so if it is a mitzvah, maybe that should have been before.
That's a question. Why didn't I don't know? It's, you know,
the mitzvah based in to announce the chodesh.
Right. Yes, and what?
On people
to acknowledge. Right.
When you see
so now, what I really want to talk about now. Right. What I want to talk about now is what is this kiddush all about? That's where the question is. Why is it? You know, why is it there is such a bracha altogether? And what are we supposed to bear in mind? What are we supposed to do with that? You know, when we recite that bracha, I'll just mention in. If you want, I'll mention it at the end, okay. The women are not, the question about women being required to do it. Those who hold that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kiddush Havana will say, well, it's a mitzvah seishes man gomer, right? It's a function of time. Others disagree. Others say, well, no, that's not the usual type of mitzvah seishes man gomer, because here it's an external, it's a scientific zman, it's not a seasonal zman gomer, it may be different. I wasn't really going to speak about it, but Rav Yosef speaks about it with regards to the Birchas Ilonos would be a good parallel, that every springtime, when you see the trees blossoming, it's basically a bracha. So what about women? So it's only during the spring. That's a question. Chodesh Nisan, what have you been doing Nisan? Right, Bikurim, he ties in a bunch of different things, and one thing he mentions is Birchas Halavana, Kiddush Lavana, because is that really a mitzvah seishes man gomer or not? In other words, it is bound by time. On the other hand, it's not something that the halacha superimpose on time. It's something that is a function of a time of year. So maybe it's not in the category of mitzvah seishes man gomer. So those who want to say that women are obligated.
Huh?
Right. That's what he discusses. So there's some who say, in Achanami, there's some who say that women are chayiv in Birchas Halavana. There are those who say that. Mishnah Berurah says not. Mishnah Berurah in the beginning. There are those who want to tie this into why women might be part of from Sfiras HaOmer. There's an interesting Ramban that says it doesn't seem to say it to Mitzvah Shalom Grama. What do you mean? Because it's also, I'm sorry, women might be chayiv in Sfiras HaOmer. Because it's a Mitzvah Shalom Grama. No, but it has to do with the harvest. Again, a scientific thing. Anyway, maybe we'll get to it. If not, I'll talk to you privately. Anyway, and let me just read in Halacha Beis there, just we'll recognize some of these customs, Halacha Beis in that Masechet Sofrim. He writes, Omer Gimel Pam Simintov, Baruch Yotzech, Baruch Hosech, Baruch Konech, Baruch Barech, Barokid, Gimel Rakidos, and you say the Pasuk of Tipol Emaso Fachad, many of the traditions that we have, in terms of the things that are done after the actual bracha. The actual bracha ends, Baruch Hatashem Mechadesh Chadash. The truth of the matter is, after that you're done. All this other stuff we add, so it's for Simon Tov and for whatever, maybe we'll have to talk about it maybe some other time. The reason I was thinking about this topic is somebody, I see sometimes in Ma'ariv and Shul, is asking all these questions about the different practices that we have by Kiddush Lavana, the Simon Tov, Mazel Tov, he's asking, where's the Mazel Tov? So I looked around, he's right, the Mazel Tov came in apparently later, because always just says Simon Tov. Anyway, the different practices that we have, some are Kabbalah, we'll see later. Anyway, but the main thing is the Bracha. Okay. Notice that we haven't seen anything from the Bavli yet, but the Sugya does appear in the Bavli as well, or discussion of Kiddush Lavana does appear in the Bavli as well. It says in Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Beis of an Aleph, we have the following statement: Amar Rab Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yochanan, Kol Hamivorech Al Chodesh Bizmano, Keilu Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Anybody who is Mivorech on the moon in its proper time in its new cycle is considered as though he is Mekabel Shechina. And that's a sort of a dynamite type of statement. I mean, it's like you're greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. So how do we know that? Ksiv Hocha HaChodesh HaZeh, because our opening pasuk is HaChodesh HaZeh. Uksiv Hocha, and next week's Sedra, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. Right? The Gzeres Shavov, Zeh and Zeh. And next week's Sedra, the Gemara says that the Chazal tell us that Rosh HaShiv Chalayom, that even the simplest person saw divine revelation at the time of Kriyas Yam Suf. Everybody said, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. It was a tremendous moment of revelation. So that says, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Mem Beis Van Aleph, Zeh Ksiv Hocha, Chodesh HaZeh, Ksiv Hocha, Zeh Keli Van Veyu. Right? And then comes the statement in the Gemara, which we actually incorporate into our recitation of Kiddush Lavan. It says, Tana Deber Bishmoel, Ilmol El Ozoch Yisrael El Hakpil PRV and Shemashmaim Kol Chodesh Vechodesh, Dayam, Amar Abai Hilkoch Nemrina Me'umad. Right? That we actually recite that in Kiddush Lavan. That comes from this Gemara. That if all we had was this opportunity to greet our Kiddush Baruch Hu once a month, it would also be something of great value. And Abai says that's why it's proper to say it's standing up out of COVID. So anyway, but we see this new concept really, which was not in the Masechta Sofer, not in the Yerushalmi, not in the Medrash Rabbah either, as I saw, it might be elsewhere. But the Gemara here sort of says a person who says Kiddush Lavan, it's like you're greeting the Pnei Hashchina. So Rashi says, Rashi says, he says, Amar by a hole on the kabel pnei shchina hu meumad boil of varuchim ne kovid shchina shu mekabel. Right, it's a kovid of a kodesh baruch hu. And then the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara actually presents more of the text. It says, This is more similar to our version than the Masechta Sofer version. So here the Gemara also has the text. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Beis, and Aleph. Gemara Shor, in the commentary in the Chiddush Agadus in the back, Marshall, what's this business of Ki'ilu Mekabel Pnei Hashchina? I mean, that's, you know, we don't say that about that many mitzvahs or that many brachas. We're saying here the Gemara seems to treat this with great importance. Unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, Kiddush Havana, we say Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Chap, we're running out, and there's almost a little joke atmosphere, you know, Shalom Aleichem, you know, it's a whole tumult. And, you know, people don't realize, but it's Mekabel Pnei Hashchina, the Gemara says. So, Marshall writes, V'yeshu Farish, V'yeshu Yisrael Begaluson, Einon Zochen Liros Pnei Hashchina. Especially now in Golos, in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash, Amar Shah says, we don't have the opportunity to greet the Shekhinah, so to speak, in Yerushalayim. And it's, we're far away from accepting the Shekhinah. Avach Chiddush HaLevana, who's similarly Yisrael, the renewal of the moon is a simon for the Jewish people, because we can't face on the moon. Shem Aschidin L'Shadesh Kamosa, L'Far L'Yotza, B'Kibul Pnei Shekhinah, Kamoshir, we lost it, Lobo. We're going to come a time where, just like the moon renews, we're going to renew as a people, right? And we'll have an opportunity to kabbal peshkino. Al zeh nusach brichas alavano, zeh kasher mabrach on a chodesh bismano, shu simen shu'anu asin l'schadish kmosa, hare anu ki'ilu mekabbal peshkino. That's what Amar Shah explains, because somehow the moon is represents in a way the Jewish people, and just like the moon renews, so we're going to renew eventually as a people also and have the opportunity to greet our kodesh baruch hu. But the Yaakov Emden, and now it goes to the Yavitz of Yaakov Emden, in the back on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Membeis, he says, Nir Be'enai Shalavana, he has a slightly different take. He says, Nir Be'enai Shalavana B'chidusha Dugmo L'Shechina. When the moon renews, it's like the Shechina itself. In what sense? By a da'brocha shenostin hodah la'aviyim shabashamayim shebara hama'oros lehanos. When the new moon appears, so it's like, it calls our attention, I think this is what it means, it calls our attention to the fact that there is a cycle of nature, right? The moon, as I mentioned earlier, is away for a little while, it's dark, so to speak, and the moon itself doesn't change, but in terms of what we can see from Earth. So we can't see it, and then suddenly we can see it again, so we see the workings of nature. And therefore we give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebara Hama'oros Lehanos Ma'ora, Zeresh Nechshav Kakbolos Peshkin of Avinu Shabashamayim. So calling our attention to the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature, so that's like greeting the Shechina. Lo Sheva, then he adds, Lo Shehe Chasu Sholom Lo Kovod Elohus. Not that we're giving the moon, we're ascribing to the moon any godly qualities. I mean, that's Chasu Sholom, he says. He says, in fact, right, Apostle Chumash Dvarim says, we're not allowed to look to the heavens and say, oh, there's the sun and the moon and we're going to worship them. That's not what this is. Okay, Shehena Baruzara Asher Cholak Hashem Elokeinu Asam L'Chol Olam. That's given to other people. Hello, Kaila Cholak Yaakov, Ki Yotza Arkolu, Amevin Yovin Dover B'Tok Dover. So the Yaakov Emden goes out of his way to point out that we should not think in any way that what we're doing somehow is worshipping the moon or ascribing the moon any godly qualities, but rather we're using our perception of the moon as a means of seeing the hand of our Kodesh Baruch Hu in nature. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rif happens to mention the Inyan of Kiddush Lavan at the very end of his commentary on the third parak of Brachas. It's Chof Aleph Mon Aleph in the pages of the Rif. So he quotes the Bracha there. He quotes that whole Gemara in Sanhedrin really here. So the Rabbeinu Yonah on that Rif says as follows. He says, Kilo Mekabel Pnei Shechina Pnei Shekodesh Baruch Hu Afal Pisha In Eino Nira La'ayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not visible, right? We can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Nirahu Ayidei Gvurosav Niflosav. Where, how do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We see through his wonders and through his deeds, through nature. As you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, but we can see a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the way the world operates. Kinyan Shema, Shenema, Achei Natokel Mistate, Okei Yisrael Moshiach, Komar, Afal Pish Ato Mistate, even though you're hidden, so Ato Elokei Yisrael, so season and common flows, Vato Moshiach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions in the world and saving the Jewish people and so on, then we can see his hand in this world. And so that's what the Rabbi Yonah has had that take on it. A slightly different version is in the Meiri commenting on HaKamor in Sanhedrin, again on Daf Membeit on Aleph, he writes, Haro Elavana B'chidusha and so on, he mentions the Bracha, and he says, just a moment. Kolam Mavarach Alachodesh Bismano Kilum Makbu Peneshkush Hare Zaharavis Bonanus Lachidush Habria. Again, it's understanding the Chidush, the renewal of creation. So that's the theme of this bracha. So again, we don't always run to think about this when we say Kiddush Havana, but what the Rishonim are telling us, and all the Chazal are telling us, that somehow through the moon, it's not just Tama bracha, we say quickly, but now that we understand the Gemara says, we're Makabal Peneshkina. Why? Because it gives an opportunity to focus, at least for a moment, on the hand of our Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms of managing nature. Well, halacha, this requirement to recite.
Isn't that one of the themes of Shabbos? Of Shabbos
also true, yeah. And that might
that's
be why it's Motzei Shabbos.
Why people are mocked and trying to do it.
Motzei Shabbos. Okay, good. Shabbos also the Kishesh Yisrael Masal Shabbos Rambam Zohar. Okay, also good.
And then the, why it's not listed in the Mishnah and Brachos.
On the Haro, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, Yerushalmi brings it up there, but why shouldn't it be listed? I don't know. The Rambam brings this in Parak Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos Halacha Tazayin. The Rambam writes, and he actually, because he begins that parak talking about haro, that halacha, I mean the haroah keshas. You see a rainbow, you say this bracha. Then he says haro levana bechidusha. When you see the moon, so you say mevarach bracha to makel machalom Hashem ma'amar ashchokim baruch pi kol tzom chokus man osam etc. The same, more or less the same text. Bracha to Hashem mechadish chadashim. And the Rambam himself, who, as we know, as a general rule, is not given to exaggerations and stuff. The Rambam writes in Halach Yud Zayin, "Sarach levarach brachos umeumot." Fine. Shekol hamevarach halachodesh bismano keilu hikpil pnei hashchina. I mean, the Rambam too brings this down. So it's not just stam a vort, a chazal. The Rambam's quoting this whole idea of meimakul pnei hashchina. Would seem to me that that's as good an indication as any that that's, so to speak, an ikker part of the bracha. Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. It's in Tov Chaf Vav. In Orach Chaim, the Mechaber writes, "Haro Levana bechidusha mevaracha asher b'marmo mamaro borosh chokim etc." Okay, the Mishabur writes, the question was asked before, and it's caught now. Mishabur writes, "Venoshim pturus melekadesh alavana." They have a mitzvah zeishva and grama. Okay, and the question is why volunteer? So that's for another discussion. But he says, "Haro Levana bechidusha mevaracha asher b'marmo borosh chokim." Fine. Yeah. With this, I'll read one other thing from the Aruch HaShulchan, and we'll see how it relates to the practice some people have as well. The Aruch HaShulchan, and again in Siman Tov Chavav, writes, if Aleph, he says, "Agarsina b'Sanhedrin membeis, kolam varach halachodish vanar kilu b'kal p'neshkina," and he quotes the same Gemara from Sanhedrin, and he says, "Harei mevur, de kiddush halavana hu inyon godol v'nora ke kabolas p'neshkina." I mean, he's saying, you see from all this that there's some deep significance to this idea of being of Mekadosh Ravon, like greeting the Shechina. Ubevada yesh bas sodos gdolos v'noros kasher harichu chachmei kabbalah she'inyan miyut tayareach v'inyan chet adam rishon nogin zeh lazeh ulaasid lavo she'itukan chet adam rishon oz yitukan gan miyut tayareach v'al osa heis nemar v'ol avana kar hachamo. That we actually mention that in Kiddush Havana too. At the very end, we say he rotzon she'kadosh baruch hu she'yamale pegimas halavana. That the lack in the moon, so it's a reference to that medrash that comes out of the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, that says that originally the moon and the sun were the same size, and then the moon was reduced in size, and eventually the moon will be restored. Exactly, I understand what that means. You know, his question was that someone pointed out, I think Professor Aviezer, one of these people who write on science and Torah, writes that although, you know, they have a conflict in Psukim, because it says, Shnei Hamaros HaGdolim, and it says, it's Hamora Gadol, it's Hamora Katan. So how can it be? So he says, in his first, referred to two large luminaries, and it says one's large, one's small. So he said that even though the moon, I figured out mathematically, the moon is obviously considerably smaller than the sun. On the other hand, based on the proximity in terms of the distance, the moon is much closer to the earth than the sun is. So therefore, if you could look at just the ball, the circle, it'll look the same size. We can't really stare at the sun because the eyes can't take it. But he figures out in terms of the...
Right.
That's why it can be. Right. That's why the sun can be, the moon can be blocked and the sun can be blocked. The sun can be blocked by the moon, right. So, but in any event, so he says, even though the moon is much further, but they both look the same. All right. But anyway, so this tradition from Chazal, is that it's going to be, fixed. Now, halacha beis, sif beis, in the Aruch HaShulchan, ubepshuto hatama shemivarchin ala levana yosem al kol hakochavim. Why is there no other bracha upon seeing stars, you know, in the sky also? V'hiktana kimat mikol hakochavim. It's the smallest of all the celestial, sphere, or most of them. V'bnei shi krov al aretz yosem mikol hakochavim. She'en arucha hokum in aretz rak, and it gives a certain amount, okay. And you can see the greatness of our Kaddish Baruch Hu every single night, and we have psukim. That's why it's called Yareach. Umorgash kisvonu milu v'Yisrael hamana levana nimshu levana kishem shal levana ein la or meatzmusa rak tor mer hashemesh po kein Yisrael ein lam shum or zulos or shal kadosh baruch hu. The moon is sort of an example of, sort of represents symbolic of the Jewish people, because our only or comes from our kadosh baruch hu, just like the moon's or comes from another source as well. We have it derech haTorah kadosha kemosh nemar shemesh umorgan hashem elokim ukshem shal levana pechshav v'torah kmo kein Yisrael. Just like the moon gets dark and light, as I guess good moments and bad moments, so to speak. So to the Jewish people. And anyway, that's we call Elo HaTamim Kibul Yisrael Mitzvah Zu B'Simcha. And because of this, we are very excited about this particular mitzvah. I should mention, as we said before, because it's Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina, so you're supposed to stand up when you say Kiddush Havana. And in the Ben Ish Chai, the great Sfadik Posek, writes in the Ben Ish Chai in Shana Shniya, Parshas Vayikra, Os Chav Beis, he writes, therefore, because it's so important in terms of greeting our Kaddish Baruch Hu, Birchas Halavana Yomar B'Simcha Uvenachas B'Safa Brura. Usually it's Motzei Shabbos, everybody's rushing, you know, you rush through Kiddush Havana. Ben Ish Chai says, not really right, Oschav Beis. Birchas Halavana Yomar B'Simcha Uvenachas B'Safa Brura. Kirke Mekabu Pnei Shkina V'Lachain. Chassidim, listen to this one, Chassidim Anshei Maisa Noagim Litpo B'Yom Kodim Birchas Halavana. The day of Kiddush Havana, they'll go to the mikveh first, right? B'Hu Minig Yofeh, okay? He writes, it's a nice minig. Okay, I don't know how many people do that. Then he writes in Chav Gimel, Tzorech, we'll get back to that point, but he writes, V'tzorech liyasher raglov ketfilos yurches. You should say Kiddush Havana standing. Not only standing, that's what the Gemara said, but the Ben Ish Chai said standing with your feet together like the Tzvi Shmoneh Esrei. You know, that's the ultimate covet, so to speak. So we've seen from all these sources the notion of the significance of Kiddush Havana, and the Sefer Yosef Omitz. The last source on this point, but the Sefer Yosef Omitz, which is one of the German community in Ostov Samach Zion, writes, Ma me'od tzorech zehirus gedola lashgiach b'mitzvah kiddush halavana midei chodesh b'chodesh ki rabahi. You have to be very nizer in this mitzvah. V'lav milsa zutrasi ima shomach hachamein al molo v'ozochul yeshua haklu p'nei avim shem ha-shomon v'shomayim kol chodesh v'chodesh dayam. Demashma sheshkula hi kechola mitzvah. In a certain sense, kiddush halavana is like, you know, compared to all the other mitzvahs. If some dignitary comes, so people go out to see, you know, you show pay your respects and so on. So kavachomer, but also kavachomer, ponim shemelach machem lachem rosh baruch hu she'enu near of afal pichein ritzono leheros in Cain. So who should not want to me gever yichesh leivakesh lus ponim lachein kol odin yizaros atzmo ala yoser. Okay, because Efsher Shalotia Hamitzah Gola Zosu Varis Menachu Meubas Loichalisko Nod Bechodesh Ahu. If you miss Kiddush Havana that month, that's it. You're done. You missed this opportunity for that month. So we see this notion of the importance and the greatness of this mitzvah. Many people have a practice, again, most of them are Hasidim, but others, that's the idea of dancing. People who have, they sing Tovim Ma'oris, whatever, right at the end of Kiddush Havana, brother, we'll see in a second, brought down by the poskim. Why? Because it's the mitzvah Shadam Simcha. It's a mitzvah dam simcha, to the point that it's our tradition that, well, I mean, I'm not going to read inside, I'll take my word for the moment, that during the 9 days, it's Rosh Chodesh, right? Obviously Rosh Chodesh of, we don't do Kiddush Havana, that Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos doesn't. We wait until after Tisha B'Av. Why? For that reason, because it's supposed to be the simcha, Kabbalah, 9 days, we don't have simcha. Here's a further question, what about, you know, before Yom Kippur? Is that a different problem? But certainly before the 9 days, and in fact, the truth of the matter is, even after Tisha B'Av itself, the post can bring down, now Tisha B'Av is over, but it's better to go home and eat first, and because, as opposed to Yom Kippur, when you're besimcha after Yom Kippur, because you're besimcha with Slicha Mechila, a Tisha B'Av, you know, you're starved, there's been a difficult day, and a tragic day, and so on, so you don't do Kiddush Shavuot in that atmosphere, yeah. Right.
And the incremental benefit of doing a Pesimcha, like we talked about, Hidur versus...
Right, that may relate to that. The truth is, that's the machlokas by Aseres Mitzvah. Some people say, because Aseres Mitzvah is so serious, and, you know, we don't want to have... On the other hand, others say, no, get as many mitzvahs as you can before Yom Kippur, right? You want to do more mitzvahs, so, you know, you got to get have more cash on hand when you come to Yom Kippur. So that relates to that. Okay. Anyway... Oh, we'll see that in a moment. Okay, so let's see. So let's see right now, in fact. The Ramor writes, let me read from the Shulchan Aruch, where I do it, yeah. Okay. The Ramor writes, in that same Siman Tov Chavav, Ramor writes, Aim Lekadesh, to open Ramor, Aim Lekadesh HaChodesh Ela Belaila, the Eish Shalavona Zorachas Venena Meora. From the Ogre. The Ramor writes, you don't do Kiddush Havana other than at night when you can, when you get benefit from its light, or at least you theoretically can get benefit from its light. That's brought down, that's the Psak and the Ramor. The probable source of this Ramor, the Ogre, and the Sefer Shibboleth HaLeket, and Siman Kuf Samach Zion, also writes, he brings the whole thing, he writes, he quotes the Gemara, there are those who say they only make Kiddush Havana at night. Morris says in Chulin Daf Samach, a candle during the daytime is not helpful, right? I mean, you see the moon during the day, it has barely, you know, sometimes you can see the moon during the day, but it doesn't give off any light, you don't need its light. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense, and that's how the Ramor brings down. Similarly, the Avudram quotes as well. The Avudram is in on the Brocha, it's page Shin Men Vav, in the standard edition of Avudram. He also mentions not to do it. Zeu Ano, the cost of a Medrash, he quotes a Medrash, it doesn't say the source, I don't know the source, but the cost of a Medrash, Ein Mevarch Alavana El Belaila, Shenemar Osu Yareach Lemoadim. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what exactly the Raya is, but somehow the Yareach has to be there for you to benefit from somehow. That's what the Ramor writes. Now, the post can discuss, I'm not going into in great detail now, as to exactly what does it mean to benefit from it. Do you actually have to benefit from it, at least have to potentially benefit from it. A lot of times, you don't really benefit that much from it. You really need the lights from the street or from the shul to be able to recite Kiddush Havana. But in any event, somehow you have to have at least the potential benefit if it were dark and you're out in the woods somewhere, that moonlight would make a difference. Here in the city.
Twilight. It's like 10 minutes.
Right, that's the point. Right. That's the issue. It's not, it's not at a time where you don't need the light. The truth is, so we'll see about that in a second. So the truth is, that if you look in the Rambam, I read the Rambam before, again, the Rambam just brings down the requirement to say the Bracha, and he doesn't say anything about when, he just says, Haro Levona B'chidusha, Mevorach. You see the Levona in its new cycle, he said a Bracha. And one would assume that if he had to do it at nighttime, the Rambam most likely would have included that piece of information in his presentation. The Rambam is careful, and the Rambam usually covers everything. So the truth of the matter is, there's a lengthy essay from the Chidor, in the Birkei Yosef, the Chidor, on that Siman Tov Chav Vav, it's if cotton dalit, it has a long hagoy, has a long presentation, and he says, really discusses back and forth, do you really have to have Hanor, do you have to potentially have Hanor, and he basically wants to demonstrate that there's room to say, he's like a riot at Tzarek L'Hanos Me'ora, in fact there are riots, it's a long piece, so I'm not going to read it inside now, but the Chidor has this idea, and his basically point is that you don't have to really get Hanor, it just has to be that you can potentially get Hanor. And that's the question, what about during Ben HaShemashah? So we mentioned earlier, according to Rashi, says in Chumash, in one opinion of Chilta, it was Dafke Ben HaShemashah when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Kazer V'Kadesh. But that doesn't impact this, because that's just telling you what the moon looks like for the beginning of the month. But it doesn't mean that during that time you can say Kiddush Levana. Rav Adya Yosef has a truth, I didn't bring it, but it's Yabia Omer Chelek Hey, or Chaim Siman Lamed Vav Oz Gimel, he brings a slew of poskim who say that even during a twilight period it's also okay, not before sunset, because then it's totally insignificant. This may relate, I don't know, a number of weeks ago on Hanukkah, we spoke about the question of lighting Hanukkah candles during during the time between sunset and twilight. They had a whole explanation from Soloveitchik about it. So maybe it relates to that issue. So,
the moon is setting at sunset.
Right, on Rosh Chodesh itself. Yeah. That's right. That's what I'm saying. That was just to show him when to be Mekadosh Rebbe. That's what I'm saying. That's not related to what the moon should be in the sky in terms of giving off light in terms of this mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. The two don't go hand in hand necessarily. And I'm saying that Moshe's, Baruch Hu showed Moshe Levona, according to Rashi and our Sedra, to see, oh, when it gets like this, that's Rosh Chodesh. But that's not the mitzvah of saying the bracha on the new moon. So so the Chidor, those interested, the Chidor has a long discussion about it. Now, the question is, okay, so you're supposed to say Kiddush Levona, at night, certainly the Chatchila, maybe during sunset as well. Again, the way the Rav explained by Ner Chanukah, I'll just refresh your memory, the Rav said by Ner Chanukah that those who say, like it seems like Vilna Gaon says, you can bench Ner Chanukah ready right at sunset, is because a candle at that time is helpful, although it's not indispensable. When it's dark out, it becomes indispensable. So what's the mitzvah? It means it has to be helpful, it has to be indispensable. So theoretically, you can extrapolate from there and say maybe that's the same discussion here. I don't know. Okay. If you look in the Rambam again, he says, when do you make this bracha? Ha'ora levana b'chidusha. When you see the moon, the new moon. So the ha'ora, it should be done the first time you see it, right? If you're walking outside, and you see the moon, so here's an opportunity to make a bracha. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. He doesn't say anything about Motzei Shabbos. He doesn't say anything about, waiting X number of days and a molad, right? As long as you see the moon, that's good enough. That's certainly... That's another thing, right? Okay, that's true. That's also true. Okay, and the Meiri also seems to hold like that. We'll see in a second. Okay, we'll see in a second. The Meiri also says, Harol levana b'chidusha. Harol levana when you see the moon. But as far as who says otherwise, actually, it would appear anyway that the Mechaber says otherwise. Because the Mechaber says, let's see, the Mechaber says, first of all, in Halacha Beis, Asif Beis, of Siman Tav Chav Vav, he writes, okay, and then he writes a little bit later. Just a moment. Well, we'll start with the Motzei Shabbos, and we'll come back. So the Mechaber writes, "Ein mevorchin al hayarech ela Motzei Shabbos kishemavusam ubegad of noy." So we already saw that.
In if you don't see it, you have to go and look for it.
I'm sorry. No. Right. No, I don't think anybody would say that. I don't think you're mechuyev to run and do it. Although, if we take the points we mentioned earlier about Mekam Peshchina, the way the Yosef Omer says, it's like, I wouldn't be quite a chiyev. That's correct. Yeah. Well, maybe it's something you should do. The Mogen Avram writes in Sivkot and Yud Gimel of that same Siv. The Mogen Avram writes, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch's following statement. So first you have the Motzei Shabbos issue. So that we saw already, right? We saw Motzei Shabbos. It's preferable, that's how it says in Masechet Sofrim. But Lechora, that's only a preference because then you're in a good mood, you dress nicely and so on. The Rambam still doesn't mention. But now the Chaber says something else astounding in Siv Gimel. Siv Dalad. Ein mevorchen aleha ad sheyavru shivas yomim aleha. You don't bench Kiddush Levana until 7 days have gone by since the Molad, not since our Rosh Chodesh. In other words, I should stress that point now. I don't want to go into the whole detail, but our Rosh Chodesh does not automatically conform to the Molad. As a matter of fact, the last month it didn't. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, usually not. But usually it's a day or two. I think this the previous month. Now it's Shvat. I think in Teves it was 3 days off. Just sort of three,
48
no?
48 hours is what I found.
Uh-huh. So I noticed that
right, when there's no moon.
Right, but the question is, at what point during that stage? First of all, the Molad goes by Yerushalayim time, and we should stress that too. But beyond that as well, I the truth is, if I looked at it correctly, last month...
Molad was Wednesday night.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Molad went, and Rosh Chodesh was... Right. And the previous month, I think, the Shvat...
Thursday morning.
Yeah, well, when's the Yerushalayim time?
Shvat.
I believe that in Teves, it would have been, had it not been Friday night, Rosh Chodesh was Thursday, the Teves Rosh Chodesh was Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Right? And you could have said Kiddush Levana Friday night, except we don't do it on Friday night for another reason. We don't, but had it not been Friday, we could have done it, which means it's very rare that you can say Kiddush Levana right after the second day of Rosh Chodesh. I mean, that night. We didn't do it because it was Shabbos, Friday night is Shabbos, but we don't do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov for other reasons, but, I mean, I get to it. Okay? I'm still right. So it's a little peculiar it's a few days off, and this month was also, so why is that? So that relates to the fact that our Rosh Chodesh, see, I was just last week I was away in San Francisco, so they were celebrating the Chinese New Year. So the big Chinatown community. So I was trying to figure out when is the Chinese New Year exactly. So apparently it is. It's the second moon. It's Rosh Chodesh. But it's not. It wasn't our Rosh Chodesh. It was by the Levona. It was by the Molad. Right. What I read. I was walking around this. I was waiting for my wife to take care of something. So I was looking on the walls that had a little bit about the facts. So I was looking, so it seems, if I remember correct, I think it's the second new moon following the winter solstice. That's their practice. But the point is, it was on the day of the new moon, which was the day of the Molad. Maybe in China the Molad is a little different, so, but more the day of the Molad, but it was not Rosh Chodesh, is my point. Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. This is on Thursday.
They have the same.
Right, of course.
They do it by
right,
by
the same problem. Right.
Or by calculation.
Right. So now, I don't know if that, but all I'm saying was the day of the Molad. It was not the day of the, and I think if you look on the bank calendar, sometimes they print quarter, full moon, new moon, quarter moon, whatever. So it doesn't automatically correspond to our Rosh Chodesh, because our Rosh Chodeshes were set up by the Beis Din in around the year 350 in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Din of Hillel HaSheni, the same days, the same time Abai and Rava were in Babel at that time, so Hillel HaSheni was in Eretz Yisrael. So everything is all pre-calculated. So it doesn't always match, and very often doesn't match.
Because of Rosh Hashanah.
Right, because there are rules. Right. Right, there are certain tikkunim. What Dr. Shiflin was referring to is the fact that there are certain rules that have to be in place where Rosh Hashanah can't be certain days, and Pesach can't be, so everything has to be, you know, it's not always going to match. But anyway, getting back to our point, so the Mechaber writes that you're supposed to wait 7 days from the Molad before doing Kiddush Levana, which would mean that you could not have done Kiddush Levana, tonight you could have done already, but I mean, but very often, let's say Rosh Chodesh is, the Molad is a Wednesday, whatever, so you can't do it that much of Shabbos, according to the position of the Shulchan Aruch, which obviously, you know, that's the Mechaber. And the Morgan Avraham writes, and so you've got Gimel.
3 days,
affair. Right, that's right. So the Mechaber, the Morgan Avraham actually writes, and so you've got Yud Gimel, that in some psalm it says, Mitzvah and Amuch, Lekach, Yom Rishon. There are some who hold that the Rambam's simple, again, I'm not swearing that it's the Rambam's Shita, but it certainly looks that way, because Rambam doesn't say 3 days, 7 days, nothing. It just says, when you see it. The Mir says, when you see it, and finished. So the Magen Avraham writes, you've got Yud Gimel, there are those people who consider that a mitzvah and a mechutu that way. But others mention, the Mechaber is not alone in mentioning 7 days. We'll see. So actually one of the sources, I suppose, is the three, so we have a safer, for call from the author of the Beis Yosef, the author of the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, has a sefer called Magid Meisharim. So the Magid Meisharim is that the Rabbi Yosef Karo had a malach who came to visit him on a regular basis and taught him things about the Parashat Shavua and about things in Tanakh. You know, it sounds a bit peculiar to us, but this is the author of the Shulchan Aruch. And so he had, there was, you know, a Pikabal, he had a malach, so he wrote down afterwards what the malach told him, so we have it available here, the Magid Meisharim. So the Magid Meisharim on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, so he writes, he was told, Ein Mevorchen HaTshever Zayin Yomim. He has a whole Kabbalistic reason about Kochos HaChitonios or whatever, so I'm not too up on that, but the pasuk is, and I don't know what it has to do with Shir HaShirim, I'm not sure, it's just on the commentary on Shir HaShirim. It's Vadir Maskal Ode Bo Bayom. So he mentions this, I'm not sure what has to do with Shir HaShirim per se, but that's where it's found. So, and he quotes it about, I should say, he mentioned the Beis Yosef too on the tour. He mentioned the Beis Yosef also. So it's some kind of Kabbalistic reason. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know, but, Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva, which the, you know, many Sfaradim will follow and say that he holds that it's certainly proper in their tradition as they wait for 7 days. That's what they bring. Yeah, Chassidim, many, I think, yeah, all Chassidim, many Chassidim also have the practice to wait for 7 days. It has to do with Kabbalah, some kind of, with the, you know, Kochos HaKitzonis, whatever exactly that means. Again, I'm not so well versed in it. Okay. Our practice, I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, is that right? Oh, so that makes
you
it
know that, right?
Yeah, sure, because it's going to
cycle through the month.
Yeah, so therefore the seventh day will be always, yeah.
one quarter of the
because it sets at the on Rosh Chodesh.
The moon, it rises at sunset and sets at sunrise. At the new moon, it rises at sunrise and sets at sunset. So 7 days is in the middle of those two.
So I'm presuming that you're staying at the beginning of the evening.
Is somebody blocking a thing with a car or something?
There's a police car outside.
Anybody blocking somebody?
Do you want to park on the street?
Well, nobody said that. Nobody.
Well,
I don't know what's
going on.
Can you check?
You're the lawyer enough.
Okay. The house lawyer. The house lawyer. Okay.
Like tonight it was.
Right.
All right. The Bach.
And then
there's no dinner you can't park here on the daily time, I don't think. Okay. Anyway, we'll find out. Okay. The Bach and other posts can bring down 3 days. The Avudram is the source of that, or one of the sources of that. That same Avudram that I quoted before mentions, and Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos also over there that I mentioned before. I'll save time, won't say it outside, but. I won't look at it inside. I mean, the Rabbeinu Yonah and Avudram all mentioned should wait a couple of days so it's shining a little stronger. That's the idea. He said 2-3 days, you know, when it's a tiny sliver that has almost no impact, so then you don't do it. The minute to wait 3 days, it seems to be based on this idea that it should shine, you know, with some greater practice.
It's also a statement, Shinan
Amir. Right, so that's what they say. Right.
How many days into the month?
Yeah. Now, the... The Bach mentioned it, the Pichot, all the posts can talk about it. The Mishnah Berurah says, we'll read the Mishnah, I just want to mention one thing. You mentioned about the Chassidim, the Chassam Sofer, one of his tshuvas in the Kuf Beis and Arachayim also seems to prefer the 7 day limit, and that may be why the Hungarians, the Chassidim, follow that. The practice, they're always. No, but the Hungarians.
You could say
one
of his brushes and claim that it was
from a certain Rebbe. The Hungarian Jews often follow the Chassam Sofer. Anyway, just read from the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chaf, in terms of where he summarizes these different positions. We'll just find this in Tov Chav Vav. Just a moment. He writes as follows. Hachav, Rov HaChonim Pligi Alzeh. The Mechaber says 7 days. Mishnah Berurah says, Rov HaChonim.
He was looking for the moon. All the cars on the east side should move. I think there are two cars. There's a Mazda and a Trailblazer. Does that make sense?
On this one, on Jefferson.
Why? What's why?
East side.
Wait, east side is
east side of where the house is.
The west side. The west
really?
Side.
Okay. Why? The inside of the street.
Should have a Trailblazer.
Okay. Okay, sorry, good. Okay. So, all right, sorry about that. We'll know for next week. Right. It's like 7 days to take down your circle. Okay, so we'll go, we're just almost finishing up anyway. But it's in Cotton Chof again, and the Shabur writes, Rov Achonim Pligi Alzeh. Okay, Uladidu Al Kopon Alachar Gimel Yom Meis Leis Meis Hamola Chenenin Kvar Me'ora. So the Rizzuta said before, he said it, so he can go and move his car. So he said the whole idea was you should benefit from the light. So when you only have that trickle of the original Levana, so you're not benefiting too much from it. So you wait for 3 days. That seems to be the marker for this. That seems to be the marker for this practice. But as I said, I think by the Sfardim, that's what Ravad Yosef certainly says in that tshuva. It's Chavadas Chelik Beis in Chavdala. The Ravad Yosef writes you should the Sfardim should those who want to should wait for 7 days if that's their practice. There's a major discussion which was relevant tonight. I don't know if everybody, as I said, chav kirshavan or not. It says you have to benefit from the light. So the question is, what if Rabbi Mishabur discussed in Sivkot and Gimel? What if im niskas halavana be'oven? The clouds in the way, right? And that's a common problem, especially certain times of the year. It's a common problem. So he said, and by the way, the issue to wait, I should point out, and Mishabur, the other post can point out also, the issue to wait for Motzoi Shabbos is a night thing. I'll come back to the light in a second. The issue of waiting for Motzoi Shabbos is okay, but there are more rights in Sif Beis, there are more rights. Behind Udafkim Leil Motzoi Shabbos Ukodim Yud B'chodesh. If you're going to end up waiting, and it's late already, it's already the 10th, it's 11th by the time you hit, Motzoi Shabbos, so then, don't wait for Motzei Shabbos, says Ramo. Why? Because all you need is 3 or 4 cloudy days, and you're out. We'll get to that. Right. The actually, the Machokas Mechavan Ramo, exactly what the Machokas, we pass, it's 15 days. The question is it 15 days, or is it half the total month? The total month is 29 hours, 29 days, 12 hours. Yeah, yeah. Right, 29:12 Tashtag Chalokim. Huh? Right, right. So again, it's from the molad. So the question is, do we round it off or not? The molad is, the length of the actual length of the month is 29 hours, 12 days, and 7. Huh?
Twenty-nine days,
12 hours, and 793 tashtag chalokim. 793 chalokim. Chalokim is less than a second. I think it's about
3 1/3.
There we go. 3 1/3. I was about to say about 3 seconds. So 3 1/3. So we have a mathematician here, so it's good.
1,080 chalokim in an hour.
1,080 to 3,600 is 3 1/3. There it is. Okay, good. Got all the math. So it is simple, actually. No, I remember when I learned all this. It's all works out. It really does. So, it's very fascinating. All right, anyway, so it's a halfway point. The Mechaber seems to say, I'm going off what I wanted to mention before, but the Mechaber seems to say that in Sif Gimel, Ad Emosai Mevorchala Ad Yudvav Miyom HaMolad, right? It's through 15 days, until the 16th of the month, through 15 days. Okay, below Yudvav B'chal, until the 16th, but not including, so it means 15. Okay, and the Ramor writes, "Bein lekadosh ela ad chatzi choftes yudbeis tashsag min amolad." So that's going to be a little less. If it's 14 and whatever. Okay, so that's the Mechaber and Ramor. But even getting back to what I mentioned before, the Mishabura writes. So what happens? That's why the Ramor says, if it's already the 10th of the month or 10 days since the molad, and it's already cloudy. So don't wait. Don't push off Kiddush Ravana during the winter time, especially because you're running out of time. You're not going to be able to do it. So the Mechaber Shabur writes, "If cotton base in the skatsa halavana be'ovim, im ha'av dak v'kalu sheniris halavana menenu v'nenu b'mavarech." If it's a thin cloud, we can see the moon, which sometimes happens. Basically, thinner clouds, you can still see the outline of the moon. It can still theoretically get some benefit from the light. Would you be, let's say, in the middle of a forest or something? So then it's okay. But im ha'an av enu b'mavarech. Okay, if it's a thick cloud, we manush can't see it at all, then you can't say it. Sometimes you have, like tonight, the clouds are in and out, and so if you started the bracha already, and then it got covered up completely, still go meha bracha. In other words, if you can see it's in and out and in and out, you know it's going to get covered again. So tonight I thought most of the time, even when it was cloudy, you could still see the sort of the outline of the moon. In other words, but that's what Mishabura says. If it's covered by a thick cloud, you can't say it or can't say the bracha. If you started the bracha, then it got covered, you're okay, but he says, achocham enu barosh, so look ahead. If you see it's going in and out and in and out, then he says, don't do it. He says, enu barosh, she'oz lo yasa b'choso, okay, v'ayim bir alocha. V'hu adin im yesh mosach ma'abdu b'en alu b'en halavona, hadin gam ken k'mol yin ovim. Depends, can you say it through a window? Sometimes, you don't want to go out. It's, might be cold out sometimes. I don't know what that feels like, but sometimes it's cold out, right? So can you say it through a window? So it depends, again, the same question, what type window is it? Moshe finds it true, but it's a little late, so I just want to end up by one other important comment what I spoke about earlier. We said that it's like being mekabel the Shechina, right? So, you're Mekabel the Shechina, and then we say, Shalom Aleichem, right? That's one of the things that we say. So what's that Shalom Aleichem? So, people have heard of Rabbi Matthias Blum from Queens, published a publication called Torah Ladas, which, kind of distributed, I think, in some of the shuls here. And so in the Torah Ladas, last year, in, Parshas Bo, Tavshin Samach Gimel, he has a whole article on the Inyan Amiros Shalom Aleichem, B'Shas Kiddush Levana. See, collected from Svarim, about 8 different reasons why we say Shalom Aleichem as part of Kiddush Levana. So he says it's, because we have a practice, we sort of curse out our enemies during Kiddush Levana, right? It says, Tipol Lem Mosav Vachad. So you want to say to your friend, yeah, but I wasn't talking about you. Shalom Aleichem, right? We shouldn't think that you're addressing somebody else. He quotes someone. He just quotes from a bunch of different sources. He says that the Maharil says it's a Tuvas HaMaharil. He quotes that it's a Mishum Simcha. We're in a joyous mood. So when you're in a joyous mood, you greet other people. And there's a whole bunch of different reasons, with Kitrug so if anyone's interested, I have here, you can read his one reason he didn't give, which I once heard from a Shechter, I think, and then I couldn't find it in print. He said like this, he said it from somewhere, I don't remember now, but when I asked someone about it. So, by the way, first of all, there's an interesting thing that if you're only with one other person, you can say Shalom Aleichem 3 times to that one person. Amor writes Mefurish.
Even if there are many people,
same person. But certainly, those who know Rabbi Yoni Mosen lives in the neighborhood. His father was Rabbi Leah Mosen, was for many years that helped drive Rabbi Soloveitchik around. He was Rabbi Mosen Sr., lived in Boston, so he published a book in English called Echoes of the Song of the Nightingale. The word Soloveitchik in Russian is nightingale. So he wrote a book called Echoes of the Song of the Nightingale. Right? These are things that he heard from the Rav, or he understood from the Rav's Hanhagas and so on, so he put out this book. So he has there that one time he was driving Rabbi Soloveitchik to the airport, and it was he remembered that he hadn't said Kiddush Lavana, so he stopped on the side of the road and said Kiddush Lavana, and Rav Mosen was the only person who said to him, Shalom Aleichem, three times. So first he writes that he thought it was unusual. Then he saw it's absolutely, the Rav says openly you're allowed to do it. But the reason that Rabbi Shechter told me when I asked him this once, so he said, you know, in the time of the Beis Din, and he sort of links up again, Beis Din and Mekadesh Alpiriyah, so sometimes you had people who were fakers who came and tried to trip up the Beis Din. That's why that Sugi in Rosh Hashanah had all kinds of things. Did it look like this? Did it look like that? So when a guy came to Beis Din, you didn't know too much about him. Then when they asked him all the question, it turns out he's an Eruch Yid. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, and I can agree with him. Before we thought maybe he's a Tzduki, so therefore he mentioned, he said he saw that someplace. I don't remember, I didn't see it in print, but I seem to recall hearing it from him. I'll just conclude. So don't answer in a second. I'll just mention one important thing. Our practice among Ashkenazim is that we say Aleinu at the end of Kiddush Lavana. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Bir Halacha there in Siman Tov Chavav, he says, we dafka say Aleinu because what I mentioned earlier, what the Yaakov Emden said in his commentary on Sanhedrin, we don't want anyone to think, or ourselves to think, that we're somehow worshipping the moon, or we're giving God, ascribing godly powers, as it were, to the moon. And therefore, he says, in the Bir Halacha, the Dibur HaMaskel Umavarech, he says at the end, Shom Echad Adonishon, yeah. So become makomus acha. The nagu become makomus acha. Kiddush Lavana aleinu shabayach. Hainu shelo yitul chas yisrael masha on a yotzim neged alavana smechem negda sheishum chash vayon shon nosim kavod alavana lechach on over aleinu shabayach. Umesaimim ki Hashem hu elokim b'shamayim imal. What's in aleinu? Now Kadosh Baruch Hu is the God. Ain't old. Umasha on a yotzim rak kedei liros gvuro shela Kadosh Baruch Hu sheo mer kirtzon alchol ba'ilol. We're doing Kiddush Lavana just to see the role of our Kadosh Baruch Hu nature and the kinyan shenemar su morom and. Like the Pesach, go out and look, you know, who created this, right? Once you see that, then it's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, right, same idea, good. He also mentioned, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Would it make sense when you give an
Achmikran
to
bow
away from
the moon then? Okay, good, but we say, well, Achmikran, if they melach macham lochim, okay, I don't quite marry sign, but just a kind of a reminder. I'll also mention that I saw somewhere else, that, you know, we have a tradition that Aleinu was composed by Yehoshua. So, the Gemara says in Baba Basa Ayin Hei that Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama and Pnei Yehoshua ke Pnei Levana. Right, Moshe was like the sun, Yeshua was like the Levana. So we say Brichas Levana, so we conclude it with a prayer composed by Yeshua. As for David Melech, this one is done. So we mentioned David HaMelech, so in the Sefer Baruch Sheomar, which was composed by the author of the Torah Tmima and the Chumash, so he says that which we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim says, Masha Maskirim Behem Shech HaNusach, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, Hum Yishum, the Milim Eila Olam Begimatria Kemispar Rosh Chodesh. So he adds up 819, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim is Rosh Chodesh, so, and he says that's what he connects it to the fact that we say, Halal Rosh Chodesh is written by David HaMelech, that's a minute, you know, Halal Rosh Chodesh is only a minig. The Gemara doesn't speak about Halal Rosh Chodesh as the original Takana. In Babel they started that minute. That's why Rav, the Gemara says, Rav came to Babel and never saw that before. He never saw people say Halal Rosh Chodesh before. But why did the minute say? He suggests is also David Melech Yisrael was you know, so it's a gematria of Rosh Chodesh. But the other reason is, and with this we're done, that that in a certain sense we hope for the whole idea, it's okay as before about Shemalik Pegimas Halavona, whatever that means exactly. So Halavona represents Knesset Yisrael in a certain sense. So we're, you know, our fortune, so to speak, wax and wane, as it were, like the moon does. So we wait for the day that the Levana will become whole again, that Klai will become whole again, and that's the day that Dov Meisol Chai V'Kayim. Agut Tavach and Agut M'Chodesh.
Yeah. Huh?
Shachas?
Moses and had to stop the car for him to say, give us the Levana. Why couldn't he say where he's going?
Well, it's from Umad, maybe. I don't know.
There's a famous story that the
maybe did. I have to look it up. Maybe it was.